We will be preaching today from 1 Kings chapter 19. This will be part 3 of a series titled The Life and Times of the Prophet Elijah. The Life and Times of the Prophet Elijah. And this is 1 Kings chapter 19. That's what we're going to be talking about today. But our title for our message will actually come from the book of James. The book of James, chapter 5, verse 17. This will be where our text is coming from primarily. And it reads from the King James Bible. Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. As a title today, for the third part of this series on Elijah, he was a man just like us. He was a man just like us. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come to you this morning, with everything that's within me, with all that I have, will you use to your glory? Will you use it to penetrate the hearts and the minds of the listeners? Will you use it, Lord, that souls might be saved? And will you use it, Lord, that the saints might be strengthened for the journey? In Jesus' name I pray and ask it all. Amen. He was a man just like us. All too often, when we look in the Bible and we read about different people in the Bible, we say, man, sure wish I could be like Moses. Moses was tough, you know. Moses, God spoke to him like he spoke to a friend face to face. I just wish I could be like Moses. Some of the young ladies are saying, I wish I could be like Mary, to where I could be pure and I could be chaste, and God could call on me to do his will if I just had the strength of the people in the Bible. I mean, because back then people were different. We've evolved, or have we devolved? No, I'm just kidding. No, the Bible says, when you read about these people in the Bible, when you see the wonders that God used them to do, when you see the things that God did through them, I want you to look at Elijah. Here's a man who prayed, and it did not rain for 3.5 years. And then this is a man who prayed again, and the rains came. This is a man who took the prophets of Baal and he stood them off on Mount Carmel. And this man said to the prophets of Baal, all the false teachers in his land, he single-handedly took on all the false teachers and false prophets in his land. And he said, here, you call on your God and I'll call on my God. And whichever God answers by fire, he's God. Fair enough? We say, man, I wish I could be like Elijah. He had some special extra something in him, didn't he? It's not what the Bible says. The Bible says he was a man just like us. A man just like you, just like me. A normal, everyday human being. Big difference is, he yielded to God. He obeyed God. And God honored that. There was nothing else. The Bible says there's nothing else. When I used to watch that Rocky and Bullwinkle show? Hey, Rocky, come here. Nothing up the sleeve. Elijah didn't have nothing up his sleeve, y'all. There's nothing special up his sleeve to call fire down from heaven. It's just that he said, God, I want to honor you. If we would say that about our lives, Lord, my life is shabby right now, but I want to honor you. And guess what he'll do? He'll give you a supernatural ability in your ordinary natural self to do what he wants you to do if you'll just yield. He was a man just like us. He had some very big highs and he had some very big lows. Turn your Bibles over to 1 Kings chapter 19. And please keep your Bibles open because I'll be referencing different scriptures. And I want you to follow along as we work our way through 1 Kings chapter 19. First thing I want you to notice about Elijah, when I say he's a man just like us. He had just had one of the greatest triumphs that you could possibly imagine in the history of God's people. He single-handedly stood up and publicly said, God, if you don't do this, it's not going to get done. God, if you don't bring fire down on this altar, it's not going to get done. And God honored that prayer. And immediately after God honored that prayer and he slaughtered 450 of the prophets of Baal, immediately after that, the Bible says that Ahab, King Ahab, went and told his wife Jezebel. Guess what happened? This man done killed all your prophets. And if you'll notice, because this is how the heathen always, you got to always, when you listen to heathen people talk, you got to listen to how they put a spin on things. He didn't say, God brought down fire and God had all this come to pass. He said, it was that Elijah over there. He's the one who did it. And he's the one who killed all your prophets. And in verse 2, it says that Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah saying, so let the gods do to me and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. Elijah was a man just like us. He had this tremendous high. And then right on the flip side of this tremendous high, in comes this tremendous low. Jesse, who's the most wicked, you search all through the Bible, this is the most wicked woman you'll find in the Bible. She was bad. She was bad. Elijah, Ahab would wake up in the morning and say, baby, what's on my mind? And she'd tell him. She said, she sent the messenger to Elijah. And she said, by this time tomorrow, I'll paraphrase for you. If I don't have your hide nailed on the wall, may my gods, she's swearing on her gods. She said, may my gods do to me what you did to my boys if I don't have you nailed, your hide nailed on the wall within 24 hours. Now, what y'all got to understand, she had killed many prophets. Go back in this book, you'll see she had killed many of God's men up until the point that Elijah took a stand. And so Elijah knew she wasn't just breathing out threatenings. Elijah knew that not only was she willing to do it, she was ready to do it, and she was able to do it. We have real enemies in this world. We got people who really don't like you because you're a Christian. We got people who really hate you because you have the audacity to say that Jesus Christ is the only way. You got people who hate you because you say, the way you're living is in sin and God doesn't like it. And they say, who are you? Jezebel didn't like what Elijah had done. And she said, I'm going to put a stop to it. And because he was a man, he took it seriously. And the Bible says, in verse 3, it says he went for his life. he got out of there. Now, just a few days ago, he stood up in the gap for God. And now he's on the run. But I want to take a minute here, and I want y'all to think about this. Because you wonder, with you're living a Christian life, you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, you're talking to friends, you're witnessing to folks, and people have seen the changes in your life. They've seen God do things in your life and in my life. People have seen your language change. People have seen the way you walk change. People have seen the different things that you do. And you say, why aren't they convinced? Why can't they see Jesus? If you were Ahab and you saw a man stand and call fire down from heaven, wouldn't you say, God, forgive me? Lord, you are God. Wouldn't that just be logic? Wouldn't that be logical? You would think if you didn't know the Bible. Turn your Bibles to 2 Timothy 3:13. You would think that surely when people would see, when they would look at creation, surely they would say, there's a God. Surely they would say that we got to agree with, in the beginning there was God, because I see all the variety of life. I see babies born. I see all these beautiful different things that God has done. Surely there would be no such thing as people teaching evolution. Surely there would be no such thing as people telling you that people who are killing you are people of a peaceful religion. Surely they wouldn't be doing that. But 2 Timothy 3:13 tells you, here's the reality. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. And here's the key. The reason they don't fall down on their knees and give God the glory, because deceiving and being deceived. So the more I teach you about how you came from a snail to a monkey to an ape to a you, the more I teach that to you, the more I believe it. The more I deceive, the more I am being deceived. Ahab stood. That's why signs and wonders and miracles and things like that, that doesn't necessarily do it, y'all. It's faith. The Bible tells you that's why so many are going to be turned away from the true faith in the end, because they're going to be watching signs and wonders. I got to have a signs and wonders campaign. If the cross of a man going to the cross, dying, staying in the grave for 3 days, getting back up, saying I got all power, if that's not a big enough sign for you, you lost. But we're waiting for a sign from God. Ahab had it right there in his face. Jezebel had it right there in their face. But because they were wicked, and don't miss this. This was written thousands of years ago. And he says they shall wax. This is a chronological thing. They shall wax worse and worse. To 2013, we got people who are so wicked. They can't. The name of Jesus makes them just grit their teeth. The name of Jesus. The thought of teaching children about Jesus. The thought of teaching children about loving one another. It just makes them sick, because deceiving, they're being deceived. He was a man just like us. He got scared. And he took off running for his life. And verse 3 says that he came down to Beersheba, which belonged to Judah, and left his servant there. But in Beersheba, just so you know, Beersheba was about 100. Now, this is real scary. Now, when you're kind of scared, you go about 40 miles. And if you're really kind of a little bit more, you might go maybe another 10. Because he's on foot, y'all. You might go another 10, 20 miles. This man went 120 plus miles. And then it stopped, said he stopped at Beersheba and left his servant there and went even farther into the wilderness. This man took Jezebel's threat seriously. He was scared And he got depressed as he went, ran for his life. And the Bible says in verse 4, but he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die and said, it is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my father's. He went this 120 miles into the wilderness, and then he sat down. You guys have heard of suicide by cop. That's where people walk into a police station, and they open fire, and they're hoping that the police would just shoot them. This is suicide by God. Elijah walks in. He goes to this juniper tree, and he says, God, I want you to kill me. Now, see, it's obvious that Elijah was not scared of dying. What he was scared of was how he was going to die. See, because if he really wanted to just die, he could have stayed there and Jezebel would have taken care of that. Jezebel said, that's what I'm talking about. That's what I want to do. I want to take your life. So he wasn't scared of dying. He was scared of how it was going to happen. So he says, God, I want you to do it. See, because Christians, I told you, he's a man just like us. Christians get depressed. I've had people tell me, well, you know, a Christian would never kill himself. That's a lie. That's a lie. No, Christians get depressed. Christians are subject to everything that anybody else is subject to. I'm going to give you some examples. Y'all, the older ones, the more mature ones, not the older ones. Y'all know the OJs, right? Y'all, everybody know the OJs, music group, you know. That's the OJs. I'm going to tell y'all about the three J's. We got three J's in the Bible. That I want y'all to keep note of these men's lives, because when I tell you that Christians go to the brink of depression, and I know there's people in here right now who've been there, y'all, been there. We got the three J's. The three J's are Job, Jonah, Jeremiah. All three of these men, all three of these godly men who had powerful ministries, they did everything God told them to do. But all three of these men sat down at one point in their ministry and said, Lord, I'm through. I can't take it no more. I'm going to quit on God. Job said, my life is so miserable. I have tried my best to do what, Lord, I told you. I did what you told me to do. I did it the way you told me to do it. I love my wife. I love my kids. I gave to the poor. I fed the hungry. And look at what it got me, God. I'm here sitting in ashes and with a potsherd picking the skin off me. This is what it got me, God. Tell you what, God, why don't you just kill me? I just cursed the day I even came in this place. Why don't you just kill me? That's Job. Our second J, Jonah. Jonah, we got some Jonahs in here. God told Jonah to go and preach to the people he hated the most. God told Jonah, you go over there to those God-hating heathens and you humble yourself before me and you go tell them what thus saith the Lord. I don't want to. God said, Jonah, go tell them. I stand here every Sunday and I say, who have you spoke to this week? Who have you witnessed to this week, Good Shepherd? Who have you taken the time to say Jesus loves you? God wants you in his kingdom. Are you a Jonah? Jonah said, I'd rather see them dead in hell rather than preach to them. And he said, because you know what, God? And this is one of the things about Jonah's message. He said, God, you know, since I know you, Jonah was a godly man. He said, since I know you're going to put an okey-doke on me, God. I know that if I go tell them about you, and tell them about your goodness and tell them about your judgment, they're going to repent. And when they repent, you're going to say, I'm going to hold off for a while. Jonah got on the boat. And when the boat started rocking. And they said, what's the problem? Jonah said, I'm the problem. Jonah wasn't scared of dying. He just didn't want to go preach to them people. Jonah said, I'm the problem. Jonah said, y'all just take me and throw me overboard. God, hey, I'm ready to die. I'm ready to die because, see, and for those of y'all who don't believe in eternal security, you read the story of Jonah, okay? Now, here's a man who is in direct rebellion to God. He is doing the exact opposite. God said, you go east. He went west. God said, you preach. He said, I ain't going to preach. He's in direct opposition to God. But you read his story. Jonah said, y'all go ahead and throw me overboard because God got me. He got me. This is before the cross, y'all. This is before we knew about Jesus. This is in the Old Testament. So I'm still baffled by Christians today who don't understand eternal security. When you belong to God, you belong to God. And the good news is he won't take you till he's ready. Look what happened with Jonah. Jonah said, go ahead, throw me overboard. I'm ready to die. Dadgummit, God saved him. Saved him, kept him in the belly of a great fish for 3 days, spit him out. Now go do what I told you to do. Amen. But he wanted to die. He wanted to die. He genuinely wanted to die. Jeremiah, the third J of the three J's. Jeremiah, strong preacher. I looked at Jeremiah and I said, man, God, if I could get to the point where I think one of the greatest scriptures for a minister is when you see what Jeremiah, them people dogged Jeremiah out. They treated him like something they didn't want to step in. They treated Jeremiah bad. And Jeremiah said, okay, I'm through. Y'all know where y'all can go to. I'm through with it. Jeremiah said, I'm not going to give not one more message from God. Not one. Jeremiah had even told God, he said, God, I want to curse the day I was born. He said, curse the man who even told my mama she was pregnant. He said, I just don't want nothing to do with it. And then, you keep reading. And Jeremiah says, God, I cannot not obey you. He said, I tried. He said, I tried. He said, but there's this spark that started down in my spirit. And this spark became like a flame. And see, that's what I'm saying. I want Good Shepherd to get this flame. I want your spark to get fanned. I want you to be like Jeremiah. I want you to be like Jeremiah to the point where he says, okay, okay, okay. It's like a fire shut up in my bones. I got to tell somebody about Jesus. And they're going to look hard at you. They're going to call you names. They're going to call you fanatical. They're going to call you ignorant. They're going to call you superstition. But what you do is you call on the Lord. And he'll enable you to do what you need to do. Elijah was just a man. He was a man just like us, y'all. He was at the point of depression. He was at the point of wanting to die. Just like us. But I want you to know you got a God in heaven who has got your name listed in the Lamb's Book of Life. If you have ever believed on the name of Jesus Christ, if you have ever believed that Jesus Christ came, he died, and he rose from the dead paying for your sins and mine, he says, that's enough. Focus on me. Don't focus on you. Don't focus on your situation. Focus on the answer, which is Jesus Christ. We spend way too much time looking at our situation and way too little time following the solution. He says, I'm no better than my fathers. You get this feeling of total uselessness. You say, I've been preaching, I've been teaching, I've been trying to live right, and this is all I got to show for it. I got nothing to show for it. Nothing. My kids are crazy. I just got fired. Man called me up, told me my 401k was just a K. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? What am I going to do? It's all over. He said, God, I quit. And now I want y'all to see what God's response was when man is in need. For those of you who are out there today, who you got special needs that nobody else knows. Nobody knows but you. Nobody knows but you. Nobody knows that hurt that you have. Nobody knows that situation that you're dealing with. And I want you to know God knows and God cares. And he does something about it. Look what he does here for Elijah. Verse 5. It says, and he touched him. And he touched him. When I was little, I'd get sick, fever running. Mama, touch me. She'd take her hand. She'd touch me. Can't nobody touch you when you're sick like your mama. At least that's what I used to think. Till I found Jesus. He's the one who gave my mama the touch she had. Depressed, figuring he's on his own, nobody around to call a friend, your life is turned upside down, and the Bible says that the angel of the Lord came and touched him. Touched him, y'all. Since he was a man just like us, I submit to you. You got a situation that you're dealing with? Home life disarray? Your health, not where it needs to be. Mama sick, daddy sick, children sick. I submit to you. Just ask God for a touch. And what you'll see here in this passage, Elijah didn't even pray. It said Elijah went out into the wilderness. He got up underneath the tree and he went to sleep. He went, to, you know, folks got to take pills to take to go to sleep, y'all. They got to take pills to go to sleep. Then they got to take pills to get up. Then they got to take pills to maintain them through the day. It says Elijah went to sleep and God touched him. The angel of the Lord. We understand that to be the pre-incarnate Christ in the Old Testament. That's a whole different lesson, but I just tell you, that's the pre-incarnate Christ. That's before he came in the manger, because Jesus is the one who always was, one who always is, and one who always will be. Amen. Amen. So he was there. He was there. He said, where was Jesus in the Old Testament? Just start reading. You'll see. He was there. It says he touched him, and then look what he did. He told him, he said, I'll paraphrase. He said, get up, I got a bologna sandwich over here for you. He said, I tell you this is a pre-incarnate Christ, and I'm convinced this is the same person who, when the apostles had been out fishing all night long, and they looked on the shore and they saw a man sitting there with the fire saying, hey, I got some breakfast here. Isn't that how good God is? God said, come on, I got what you need. Right here, I got you. He said, here, come on, have something to eat. And he came over and he had something to eat. And he did eat and he did drink. And then the Bible says that he went back to sleep again. And then the angel of the Lord touched him the second time and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great. See, we only see in part. But God knows the big picture. He told Elijah, the journey's too great. Elijah didn't even know what the journey was going to be. He said, Elijah, there's work to be done, y'all. Saints of God, there's work to be done. And you need your strength, you need your spiritual strength, you need your physical strength to run this race. Nobody goes into, nobody, have y'all ever seen anybody who was on one of those, hunger strikes who entered into a marathon? Nobody enters into a race unless they got the nutrition they need. The angel of the Lord said, what you have going for you right now is not enough to get you through this race. God is saying to everybody here, you come a little bit closer to me. You come a little bit closer. You draw a little bit closer. You pray a little bit longer. You lean a little bit more on me. He says, because you're going to need some strength for this race. You don't know what's... God said, I know the beginning from the end. You don't. You hung up on yesterday. You hung up on, well, they did me wrong. They did this. You think you've been done wrong already. You just keep living for Christ. You just keep living for Christ. You ain't been done like you're going to be done when you keep living for Christ. What did the man say when the guys came through in Kenya? They came through asking people, are you Muslim? Are you not? At the embassy, at the mall where they just last night, at the mall, they came through and they said, are you a Muslim? Are you not? And if you were not a Muslim, they shot you. Now, I submit to you, whatever your little bit of woes and the problems you were having with your wife yesterday, why don't you put that back yesterday? And why don't you start focusing on what's to come? Because what's really coming, the Bible says, if you can't handle the foot soldiers, and that's what we're dealing with right now. We get a little bit of persecution here in America. Oh, they won't let me pray. Oh. What are you going to do when the horses show up? What are you going to do when they're lining up people saying, are you a Christian or are you a Muslim? Are you a Christian or not? It doesn't even have to be Muslim. A whole bunch of people hate Christians. What are you going to do then? You know what you're going to do then? You're going to start saying, Lord, let me speak to my wife one more time. Lord, let me see my children one more time. You ain't going to be asking about, can I get another paycheck? You're not going to be talking about, let me go find a bigger house. You're not going to be talking about, let me go get me a new car. You can say, Lord, let me see my family. Let me see that family that I turned away from. Let me see that husband. Let me see that wife that I neglected the whole time. And now I'm sitting here crying the blues because I can't get to them. Before you get in that situation, let's do some soul searching, and then let's do some yielding to God's word. Draw closer to him. Draw closer to him. You see in the Bible where there's numerous people who came and touched Jesus, and they were all healed. He's in the healing business, saints. He's in the healing business. Look what God says to him. Verse 8. The scriptures say, and he arose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. Whatever it is that the angel of the Lord gave him to eat, it gave him enough strength for 40 days and 40 nights to go where? Into the wilderness. It doesn't say why he went into the wilderness, but I believe that he went back to the wilderness because sometimes you got to get back to the basics of life. He went to the same wilderness where the children of Israel wandered for 40 years. 40 years they wandered on what would have normally been an 11-day journey. They wandered around. And it looks like to me as though Elijah went down there to Mount Horeb, which is also called Mount Sinai. It's on the same range. Mount Sinai, where God spoke to Moses. You talk about a landmark where God spoke to Moses, where God sent the Ten Commandments down to the children of Israel. This is where Elijah went. He went there because sometimes you got to go back to where you started so that you can get yourself together and get moving back up forward. Sometimes I want you to stop when all the chaos is going on in your life, when all the, you can't think that your mind is befuddled and fuzzy. I want you to stop for a minute and say, where was I at when Jesus saved me. Let me go back in my mind. And I don't want you to stay there because God wants you to move forward. But you got, sometimes you got to get, what do you do with your computer? You got to reboot it. When everything, you know, when you're getting all them crazy pop-ups and then something, like my computer, sometimes I hit a button and all I hear is, and I got to call Carl because something's gone crazy with my computer. And he just says, reboot it. Christians, brothers, sisters, you need to get rebooted with Jesus Christ. I know you're busy doing that, and I know you're busy doing this, and believe me, whatever you're doing, you get sick and die, it will still get done. So why don't you just stop for a minute and give God some praise. Give God some time. Give God some reflection as to where you were that day when he called your name. And say yes, Lord, to him. Elijah went down to Horeb. And he lodged in a cave. In verse 9, and it says, behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said unto Elijah, what doest thou here, Elijah? Now, Jesus had told him that he needed some more strength for the journey, but Jesus didn't tell him what the journey was at that time. And if you'll go back into chapter 18, you'll see where God would speak to Elijah, and he always directed him on where to go. He always told him where to go. He says, Elijah, go down here, hide out for a little bit. Elijah, go over and feed the widow of Zarephath. Elijah, go talk to Ahab. But now Elijah's down in the wilderness, and the Lord is saying to Elijah, what doest thou here, Elijah? That's as scary as in the Garden of Eden when the God said to Adam, where are you? I hope God's not saying that to anybody in here. Where are you? But I do know what he's saying to you in here. If you're a saint, what are you doing? What are you doing here? You just taking up space? What are you doing? Sucking down the air that somebody else could be using? What are you doing? Don't you know there's work to be done? What are you doing? Oh, I'm just chilling, God. That was Elijah's answer to God. Just chilling. And God says, what are you doing here? What are you doing here? And Elijah answers him, and he says, I have been very jealous for the Lord. Verse 10. And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of his host. For the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thy altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. God said, what are you doing here, Elijah? Not why are you here? What are you doing here? And Elijah explains to him, it's because of those folks. All these people. And he suffers from this thing I call it the Elijah syndrome, where nobody know the trouble I seen. Nobody know my sorrow. Too many Christians. Well, this person did me wrong. And that person did me wrong. And so-and-so was mean to me in the church. And so-and-so was mean to me out on the street. Elijah is actually asking God to take out the children. First, he goes to defend the children of Israel. Now, the book of Romans chapter 11, verse 2 tells us he's interceding against Israel. Because don't forget, the prophets, they were Israelites, and they were going to kill him. And so he's asking God to get them. But instead of getting them, God says to Elijah, he says, Elijah, verse 11, he said, go forth and stand upon the mountain. The solution for us as Christians, when we get lost, when we're out in the wilderness, when we don't know where we're going and we don't know why we're there and we don't know which direction to go, you speak to the Lord or read your Bible. And his answer will always be, go forth. Go forth. I got a plan for you. Get up, stop whining, stop complaining, go forth to do the will of God. And the Bible says that the word of the Lord came to Elijah, and he said to Elijah, he said, Elijah, I want you to go out here in this cave, and I want you to stand here, and behold, the Lord is going to pass by. And I want y'all to read in verses 11 through 12, where it says that Elijah was in the cave, and as the Lord passed by, before the Lord passed by, they said this strong wind came through. The wind was so strong, it was ripping bricks and rocks off of the mountains. The wind was ferocious wind. And Elijah's in there, and he's waiting, he's waiting, he's waiting. But then the Bible says, but the Lord was not in the wind. Some of y'all waiting, if he's not in the wind, I know what you do. You're waiting for the Lord to bring an earthquake and shake up everything. And it says an earthquake came and it shook up everything. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. Well, surely God's going to give me a sign by fire. Yeah. And it says the fire came. The fire came down from heaven. God's fire came down from heaven. And the Lord was not in the fire. Verse 12 says, and after the fire, a still, small voice, almost like a whisper, almost like a whisper. And see, you can't hear it when you got a whole lot of clamor going in your life. When the wind's going and the earthquake's shaking and the fire is burning, you just can't hear that voice saying, hush, hush. That still, small voice. God ain't much in the shouting business, y'all. But he speaks to your heart, and he speaks to your heart in that still, small voice. But you know what? You got to be still to hear it. You got to sit and be still to hear that voice from God. And there's one thing that we don't like in this day and age of whip out that phone, that little hand-powered computer deal right there. Got my little Nexus and all that other good stuff. I mean, you got the world at your fingertips. And that's what you got at your fingertips, the world. I don't have time for God. God says, turn that thing off. Yeah, but preacher, I'm looking at it on my little, I'm looking at the Bible. Turn it off. Turn that TV off. Turn that radio off. Leave the car in the driveway. Don't call your homeboys. Don't call your homegirls. Sit still and know that he is God. Listen for that still, small, still, soft voice. He's talking to everybody in here. Doesn't Jesus say, if you're saved, does not Jesus say in his word, does he not say, my sheep hear my voice? Did he not say that? They know me, and because they hear my voice. If you ain't hearing it, ain't because he ain't speaking. He's talking to us. He talks to us on a regular basis every day. Get up. Come here. Go to church. Go study. Open your Bible. Be kind to your wife. Treat your children like they're people. Submit to your boss. Submit to the government. Pray for the government. Stand for Jesus. He's talking to you all the time. Are you listening? I'm just getting to the point in my life where I've said, Lord, I'm just tired of doing the wrong thing at the wrong time. So many Christians. You ever heard that saying, a day late and a dollar short? God told you what to do, and you fitting to do it, and tomorrow shows up and you're already a day late. And now you want to do it just like the children of Israel when God told them to go into the promised land. He said, go, go now. And they took a vote. They took a vote. And they said, no, we can't go. We can't do that. And then after Moses told them that it was been revoked from them, now all of a sudden everybody wants to go on in. And the Bible says they got whipped, pathetically whipped. When God speaks to you, when God calls your name, when he tells you what to do, when he tells you how to do it, submit. Submit and you will be blessed. Last thing. Verse 13. The word of the Lord said this to Elijah in verse 9. And he said in verse 13, Elijah, what doest thou here? What are you doing here? I did not tell you to be at this position, at this time, in this place. This was of your own. Saints of God, if you're in a place where you decided to be and God didn't decide for you to be there, I submit to you, be obedient. He will tell you what to do. He says, Elijah, what are you doing here? And Elijah gives him the same answer. And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thy altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And again, the Lord's reply is, go. Pack up and go. And he gave him three things to do. But one thing I want to emphasize, he told him to make sure that he speaks to Elisha. He wants to anoint Elisha to take his place. Everybody in here, when they say, Pastor, are we in the last days? If you and I are discussing it, we are in our last days. Okay. You and I have an expiration date already stamped on us. It's not a bad thing, because that means that's the day we get to go be absent from the body, present with the Lord. But he's told Elijah, he said, before you leave here, I want you to train up a man. I want you to take somebody under your wings and teach him about me. You go talk to Elisha and teach him about me. You, men, women, ladies, he said, you go to these young girls who don't know any better. He says, you go to them. Don't be scared of their hard looks. Don't be scared that they're going to tell you no. He says, you go to them and you tell them about Jesus. He says, men, stand up. Talk to these boys. I don't care what they look like. Learn how to cut them away from the crowd and talk to them about Jesus. Train them up. And the last thing, after he told Elijah, he said, disciple somebody. Then he finally answered Elijah's problem. Elijah was having problems because he said, Lord, I'm the only one. I'm the last one. There's nobody else. I'm the only one. That Elijah syndrome makes you think that nobody else is working for Jesus but you. Nobody else knows how to do anything for Jesus but you. You're the only one. Verse 18. Word of the Lord says, comes to Elijah, and he says, oh, by the way, when you're talking about you're the only one, yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which have not kissed him. God touched him, God fed him, God protected him, and God directed him. And God says, Elijah, you only see in part. I'm saying to you, brothers and sisters, your situation is bad. I cannot negate what your situation is in because only you and the Lord know it. But on the authority of God's word, I can guarantee you, you think your situation is impossible, but you only see in part. Elijah was a man just like you, just like me. And he thought the whole world had, he was ready to die. Because he said, it's all over. I can't take no more. I got to quit on God. I'm through. I can't take it. And God says, here in the physical, I want you to know, it's 7,000 times better than what you think it is. in the physical. But in the spiritual, I want you to understand that I got 7,000 physical men here ready to do my bidding. But Elijah, there's going to be one who comes, one man, who's going to do my bidding. And he's going to do more than all the 7,000 combined. I promised you a Messiah. I promised you that I was going to send one to the tribe of Israel who will be raised up, who will save Jew and Gentile. Brothers and sisters, I submit to you that one is Jesus Christ. That one is the one who, when you feel like everything is gone, when you feel like all hope is gone, he's the one. He'll come feed you, he'll touch you, he'll direct you, and he'll provide for you. But he says, you got to call on me first. He said, you got to call him. You got to believe that I am who I say I am, and I'm able to do what I said I'm able to do. Won't you call him? He says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord, no matter what your circumstances. I know you believe that all those people in the Bible were super saints. I know you believe they never got tired, they never got hungry, they never got depressed. Three J's, all of them, at the brink of suicide. All three of them. All three of them looking to a permanent solution to a temporary problem. It's always better. It's always better than what you think it is. Elijah was just a man, just like us. But Jesus says, call on him, and he'll save you. God bless you. God keep you.